The Life of Christ in Stereo, four inspired voices testify as one. Republished as The Greatest Story in Modern American English. Download the Android application from our website. Session 8, Chapter 12, dealing with events between September AD 31 and April of AD 32. If you are meeting with a group, discuss together, what did you learn that was new, helpful, or important? Allow anyone to answer. And then, what questions do you have about what you read? Again, allow anyone to answer before you do. We have come to the fourth phase of Jesus' life, early rejections. These events begin in the region of the Galilee in the north. Jesus will travel from thence down to Jerusalem in Judea province. So we shall be dealing with Judea, the Feast of Tabernacles, the Judeans themselves, including Pharisees, and Jesus' great I Am statements. What do you see in this picture? What is the significance of the tent? The text reads, Now the Jewish Feast of Shelters was near. This was in September of AD 31. When his brothers had gone up to the feast, then Jesus himself also went up, not openly, but in secret. So the Jewish leaders were looking for him at the feast, asking, Where is he? Israel had several festivals, sometimes called feasts, some of which required pilgrimage. There was Passover, held in the spring of each year, immediately followed by the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the Festival of First Fruits. 50 days later, there was the Feast of Pentecost, and then in the autumn, the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, and the Feast of Tabernacles. Thus, all adult males were required by the law to come to Jerusalem 3 times a year. Were they able to do so? What do you see in the picture? Where is Jesus? When the feast was half over, Jesus went up to the temple courts and began to teach. He said, My teaching is not from me, but from the one who sent me. If anyone wants to do God's will, he will know about my teaching, whether it is from God or whether I speak from my own authority. The importance of this will become apparent later. The chief priests and the Pharisees sent officers to arrest him. Then Jesus said, I will be with you for only a little while longer, and then I am going away to the one who sent me. You will look for me, but will not find me, and where I am, you cannot come. Jesus may have been speaking of his death. Major religions in different countries have established fake tombs of Jesus, believing he had come there. For example, the Rosa Bal Shrine in Srinagar, Kashmir, believed by Ahmadis to be the tomb of Jesus. What's going on in this picture? Why are these priests holding pictures? On the last day of the feast, the greatest day, Jesus stood up and shouted out, If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me, and let the one who believes in me drink. Just as the scripture says, From within him will flow rivers of living water. We're unsure which scripture he was alluding to, quite possibly Isaiah 58:11. In that verse, the water flows from Yahweh, the God of the Bible. And so Jesus, in essence, is saying, if you wish to drink from the spiritual life of Yahweh, you must come to me. Now he said this about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were going to receive, for the Spirit had not yet been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Even in the Older Testament, very few individuals were said to have received God's Spirit. And even during the lifetime of Jesus, it was something still anticipated for the future. Now, what Spirit are we talking about? This is the living God Himself dwelling in and amongst us believers. How was Jesus glorified? When He was resurrected from death and then taken up into heaven. Then Jesus said to them, "I am going away, and you will look for me, but will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come. You people are from this world. I am not from this world. Thus I told you that you will die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins." He said this in April of AD 32. What did he mean? I am He. Who is He? Well, this brings us to the great I Am. In Exodus chapter 3, God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "You must say this to the Israelites, 'I am has sent me to you.'" I am in Hebrew, echye, is simply first person singular pronoun. This was translated into the Greek Septuagint in the 3rd century before Jesus as ego emi haon, which means I am the existing one. And you should go say, "The existing one sent me." So, when Jesus says, "My Father in heaven has sent me," and then says, "I am," who is he claiming to be? Then Jesus said, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, and the one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, because I always do those things that please Him." While he was saying these things, many people believed in him. Well, lift up how? Human beings lifted him up onto a cross. Later, God lifted him up out of his tomb, and 50 days later, into the sky. Jesus continued, "If anyone obeys my teaching, he will never see death." Oh. Then the Judeans responded, "Both Abraham and the prophets died. Who do you claim to be?" Jesus said to them, "I tell you the solemn truth. Before Abraham came into existence, I am." Now Abraham had lived about 1,000 years before Jesus was born. Jesus is claiming to be who and when? The great question to these days. In reply to Jesus, who said, "I am," was he a liar, a lunatic, or the living Lord? Then they picked up stones to throw at Jesus, but he was hidden from them and went out from the temple area. Now this inscription on a slab of stone has been found by archaeologists. Two of these used to hang on the balustrade, a kind of fence around the buildings inside the temple courts, as a warning to any Gentiles. It read, in Greek, "No stranger is to enter within the balustrade around the temple and enclosure. Whoever is caught will be himself responsible for his ensuing death." And they kept a pile of stones ready for just that purpose. What do you see in this picture? What is happening? Who is doing this? Now, as Jesus was passing by, he saw a man who had been blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who committed the sin that caused him to be born blind? This man or his parents?" It's a common belief that tragedies result from sin. You know how Americans have adopted from Hinduism its doctrine of karma. Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but let the acts of God be revealed. Now, some of your Bible versions say, this happened so that God could be glorified, attributing trickery to God, making him out to be unkind, just so he can heal somebody. Well, the Greek language does not require such a belief. The term here, hina, followed by a verb in the subjunctive mood, should just be translated, let's see what God will do. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Having said this, he spat on the ground and made some mud with the saliva. He smeared the mud on the blind man's eyes and said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. Jesus wanted this man to be healed in the sight of many, but he did not want to be there to take the ire and condemnation of the Jewish leaders. So the blind man went away and washed and came back seeing. Now, if you've traveled the world, you have seen the sight of the blind on the streets begging. Then the neighbors and the people who had seen him previously as a beggar began saying, is this not the man who used to sit and beg? Some people said, this is the man, whilst others said, no, but he looks like him. The man himself kept insisting, I am, using the exact same words that Jesus employed when he said, I am. So John's translation of I am in this verse confirms the meaning of I am in Jesus' case. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them from my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one can snatch them from my Father's hand. Oh, the Father and I are one. Now, do not make the mistake of thinking the Father and the Son are the same person. For when he said, we are one, he employed a neuter pronoun which is never used of persons. And so likely here means something such as, we are one in purpose, or we are completely agreed. Possibly, we are deity. What's happening in this picture? Stoning was allowed even by the Mosaic law in the case of very dire crimes. Later, religious zealots used stoning to murder those whom they felt had blasphemed God. The Jewish leaders replied, well, we are not going to stone you for a good deed, but for blasphemy, because you, a man, are claiming to be God. Clearly, they understood what Jesus had been saying. For to stone is to kill a man by throwing heavy stones upon him. Now, blasphemy is an old word that means to insult God or to lie about him. Religious people are quite willing to kill you in defense of their God, whereas in Christianity, our God came and gave himself up to death on our behalf that we might live, even we who used to blaspheme him. Jesus answered, is it not written in your law, I said, you are gods? Do you say about the one whom the Father set apart and sent into the world, you are blaspheming because I said, I am the Son of God? Contrary to internet skeptics, Jesus did claim to be the Son of God. In these verses, Jesus quoted from Psalm 82:6. Let's take a look at that. By the way, the idea of a divine council in the heavens, of God presiding over spirit beings, some of whom were sent as angels, was very much a part of Christian theology until the 19th century. So, Psalm 82:6 reads, God has taken his place in the divine council. In the midst of the gods, he holds judgment. What? Are there other gods in the Bible? Well, yes, but notice we spell it with a lowercase g. And here's why. God is speaking when he says, "You are gods, sons of the Most High, all of you." When we say God, it's the name Elohim, used with a singular verb, so it's the one God. But when he says you are gods, it's the same word, Elohim, though used with plural modifiers. Psalm 86, "There is none like you amongst the gods, O Lord, Adonai, nor are there any works like yours. Adonai, the Lord, has no equal amongst the lesser gods." Where did these come from? Deuteronomy 32 says, "The Most High gave to the nations their inheritance," that is, their lands, "according to the number of the sons of God," using an older Hebrew manuscript found amongst the Dead Sea Scrolls, a text from which the Septuagint had been translated when it said, "according to the number of God's angels." Thus, the ancient teaching is that after the flood, when God told the nations to spread out over the earth, he put spirit beings in charge over them. And in so doing, he called them gods. Unfortunately, many populations later began to worship those spirits as gods. Jesus continues, "Even if you do not believe me, believe the deeds, so that you may come to know and understand that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me." Then they attempted again to seize him, but he escaped their clutches. Jesus said this in Jerusalem, where he had performed two deeds. One was the healing of a man who had been lame for 35 years, and the second was the healing of a man who had been born blind. When he says, "in the Father in me," again he's emphasizing he and the Father have the same purpose, take the same action. Should you choose to continue this course, your assignment for next time is to visit the website locus, L-O-C-I-S, dot site, S-I-T-E, then read or listen to chapters 13 and 14, these are sections 71 through 91, in the life of Christ in stereo. Then be ready to share your insights, queries, and objections when we meet again.